Katra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. Welcome to the deep dive. We're plunging into some really fascinating, maybe even challenging ideas today. We're looking at a philosopher who, honestly, dared to redefine some massive concepts: God, nature, human freedom itself. Yeah, okay, let's unpack this one. Our focus is Baruch Spinoza's huge work, Ethics. Now, it has this reputation, you know, for being incredibly dense, maybe a bit intimidating.
Oh, absolutely. It's structured like a geometry proof, which can throw people off.
Right. But our mission today is to cut through that. We want to pull out the really profound, practical insights he offers on how you can find happiness, genuine freedom, even in a world he argues is, well, completely determined by natural laws.
Which sounds like a total contradiction, doesn't it? Freedom in a deterministic universe.
Exactly. It's a paradox.
Yeah.
But stick with us, because Spinoza's answer is, frankly, pretty mind-blowing and surprisingly relevant.
It really is. And Spinoza was wrestling with a question that still gets us today. How can you feel genuinely happy, feel like you have agency, when, let's be honest, we often feel like tiny cogs in this giant machine of nature? His view is radical. He basically says that understanding our emotions, really understanding them, not just fighting them, is the key. It's unexpected.
So who is this guy? Baruch Spinoza. Born in Amsterdam, 1632, a 17th century Dutch philosopher. His family background was Portuguese Sephardic Jewish. And his life was, well, not exactly conventional.
Not at all.
Can you give us a sketch of him? What set him on this path? I mean, the fact that he was excommunicated at just 23 years old for, quote, heterodox views, that's quite something. What were these dangerous ideas?
Yeah, it's a dramatic start, isn't it? That excommunication, the cherim, it was essentially because he was already questioning really core traditional religious beliefs. Things like, you know, the nature of God as a personal being, the immortality of the individual soul, as it was commonly understood.
Well, I think 23.
He just wouldn't back down. And that intellectual courage, that commitment to what he saw as truth, really defines him. Later, he worked as a lens grinder. People often mention this, but it's more than just a job, isn't it?
It feels like a metaphor.
It absolutely is. He's literally grinding glass to help people see the physical world clearly, while his philosophy aims to help us see reality, our minds, our place in the universe clearly, cutting through the fog of, well, superstition and what he called inadequate ideas.
So a life dedicated to clarity in more ways than one.
Exactly. And what makes his work, especially Ethics, so unique is this incredible blend. He's got rigorous logic, like super rigorous, but also deep psychological insights and this almost spiritual vision of unity.
And he wasn't afraid to challenge the big dogs like Descartes.
No way. He directly challenged Descartes' idea that mind and body are totally separate things. That was a huge deal. For Spinoza, nope, they're fundamentally connected, part of the same reality. He was also very critical of superstition and political systems based on fear or dogma.
And the goal wasn't just abstract philosophy, right? Ethics was meant to be practical.
Absolutely central. Ethics is his magnum opus. It covers everything metaphysics, so the nature of reality, epistemology, how we know things, psychology, our minds and emotions, and obviously ethics, how to live well.
Using that geometric method you mentioned, definitions, axioms, proofs, like building a case brick by logical brick.
Precisely. He genuinely believed you could achieve objective, demonstrable truths about reality and how to live, almost like mathematical certainty. It was incredibly ambitious.
So the book takes you on this journey.
Yeah, from the most abstract universal level, this idea of God or nature, right down to the nitty-gritty of human experience, your mind, your feelings, how you interact with others, and ultimately how you can find freedom.
Okay, so for you listening, the bottom line is this. Spinoza wanted to give us a practical guide. How do you achieve real happiness and liberation right now in your life? His answer involves cultivating reason and, crucially, transforming those destructive emotions. It's a blueprint.
Let's dive into those core ideas because, this is where it gets really interesting and honestly controversial. Part one, of God. But Spinoza's God is, well, it's not the traditional picture at all.
Not even close.
He basically says God is everything. One single, infinite, internal, self-caused substance. And he famously calls it Deus in natura.
God or nature. Yeah.
What does that even mean? What are the implications?
It's utterly revolutionary. It means God isn't some separate dude in the sky, you know, pulling strings. God is immanent. God is the universe, the totality of reality, its laws, its processes, everything.
So studying the sciences.
For Spinoza, it's a form of understanding God. Natural laws are divine laws. It completely does away with miracles, divine intervention in the usual sense, any kind of anthropomorphic God judging us.
And everything, like me, you, this table, a star, are all just modes, expressions, or modifications of that one single substance. And here's the really big one. This universe, this God nature, is entirely deterministic.
Meaning
everything happens out of necessity. It couldn't happen any other way. There's no grand cosmic purpose driving things. And no free will in the sense of being able to choose differently in a given moment.
Right. Determinism. That feels heavy. If everything's necessary, then our feeling of freedom is just, an illusion.
That's exactly what Spinoza argues. He says we feel free because we're aware of our desires, our actions, but we're generally ignorant of the incredibly complex chain of causes behind those desires and actions.
Like seeing the wave, but not the ocean current underneath.
Perfectly put. We know what we want, but not why deep down we want it.
Okay, that's a lot to chew on, but it sets up part two nicely, of the nature and origin of the mind. This is where he tackles that mind-body problem we mentioned. He says they're not separate. How does that work?
Yeah, this is fascinating. He rejects Descartes' dualism. Mind and body aren't two different substances fighting it out. They are, for Spinoza, two attributes, ways of understanding the same underlying reality. Thought and extension, he calls them.
So my mind.
In his famous phrase, the idea of the human body. Basically, what happens in your body has a parallel expression in your mind and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
They're two sides of one coin. One reality, experienced or described in two different ways.
Okay, that's a different way to think about it.
Yeah.
And in this part, he also introduces his ideas about knowledge, right? These three kinds.
Yes, crucial for everything that follows. First, there's imagination or opinion. This is our everyday sensory-based knowledge. It's often confused, fragmented, based on hearsay or appearances. It's the source of most errors and a lot of our suffering, actually.
Like judging a book by its cover, basically.
Sort of, yeah. Or seeing things only from your own limited perspective. Then second, there's reason. This is where we start forming clear, adequate ideas. We understand logical connections, cause and effect. We see how things fit together rationally.
That sounds better. More reliable.
Definitely. But the highest form for Spinoza is number three, intuitive science. This isn't just logic. It's a kind of direct, immediate grasp of the essence of things. It's seeing the particular thing right here, right now, but understanding it in the context of the eternal, universal laws of nature God.
Okay, intuitive science. Can you make that a bit more concrete? What does that feel like?
Okay. Think about understanding a mathematical theorem. Reason helps you follow the proof step by step. Intuitive science is like suddenly seeing the whole thing, its elegance, its necessity, its place within the entire structure of mathematics all at once. It's a flash of deep, interconnected insight.
Ah, I think I get it. Like a sudden aha moment where everything clicks into place on a deeper level.
Exactly. And this links back to free will. Our feeling of free will often comes from that first kind of knowledge, imagination being aware of the desire, that aha, but ignorant of the deeper causes, the whole structure leading to it.
All right. Okay. So mind and body are one. Our knowledge is often flawed.
Yeah.
How does this play out with our feelings? Parts three and four dig into emotions or effects and this idea of human bondage. You said he approaches emotions like a scientist.
He totally does. No judgment, just observation and analysis. He starts with this core concept, conatus. It's the fundamental striving of every single thing to persevere in its own being, to keep going, to flourish, to increase its power.
Like a life force.
Kind of, yeah. It's the drive to exist and enhance existence. From this conatus, he derives three primary effects or basic emotions. First, desire, which is just conscious conatus, our awareness of striving. Then joy, which is the feeling of an increase in our power, or conatus. And sadness, the feeling of a decrease in our power.
Joy is increasing power. Sadness is decreasing power. Simple, but powerful.
Very. And then he shows how all the complex emotions we experience, love, hate, hope, fear, envy, pity, you name it, are basically combinations of these three, mixed with our ideas about external things or causes.
Wow. So love might be joy associated with an external cause.
Exactly. Joy plus the idea of an external cause. Hate would be sadness plus the idea of an external cause. He maps it all out.
Okay, so where does human bondage come in?
Bondage is Spinoza's term for being ruled by our passive emotions. These are the effects that arise mainly from external causes, things outside of us that we react to, often based on inadequate ideas, that first kind of knowledge, imagination. When we're in bondage, these passions diminish our power, toss us about like, you know, a ship without a rudder.
So we're just reacting instead of acting?
Pretty much. We're buffeted by circumstances, driven by hopes and fears based on misunderstanding. And this raises that key question for you. Are you really in the driver's seat of your emotional life, or are you just reacting? Spinoza says the way out isn't willpower, like gritting your teeth.
What is it then?
It's understanding. You overcome a negative passive emotion not by fighting it directly, but by cultivating a stronger active emotion that comes from reason and understanding.
So understanding the why behind the anger, for example, actually changes the anger itself.
Yeah.
It gives you power over it.
Precisely. It transforms it. Which leads us straight into part V, the power of the intellect and human freedom. This is really the payoff.
Okay, the grand finale.
Right. And if we connect this back, Spinoza's freedom isn't about random, uncaused choices. That's the illusion. Real freedom, for him, is acting from the necessity of your own nature, guided by reason, that second and third kind of knowledge.
Acting from your own nature. What does that mean practically?
It means being an active cause of your own actions and feelings rather than just a passive effect of external things. It's self-determination through understanding. You act because you understand why it's the necessary, rational thing to do based on your nature and the nature of reality.
Okay, still getting my head around that. He talks about this highest state, the Imor Dei Intellectualis.
Yes, the intellectual love of God. Now, this isn't warm, fuzzy feelings for a personal God. It's the profound joy, the deep satisfaction that arises from the highest form of knowledge that intuitive science...
Aha, uh-huh, moment again.
Kind of, but on a cosmic scale. It's the serene joy and acceptance that comes from understanding yourself and everything else as necessary parts of the single infinite substance, God nature. It's appreciating the incredible, necessary order of reality.
So achieving happiness in our daily lives, how does this transformation actually happen? How do we get there?
It happens through the intellect, through understanding. When you form a clear, adequate idea of a passion, say, your fear, you understand its true causes, its necessity, it stops being this overwhelming passive force that diminishes you.
And because?
It can become an active emotion, maybe rational caution, or it simply dissolves in the light of understanding. By understanding the causes, you transform passive suffering into active empowerment. This leads to peace, tranquility, what Spinoza calls beatitudo or blessedness.
It's not about escaping the world, but understanding it so deeply that you find peace within it.
Exactly. You're not tossed by the waves anymore. You understand the ocean's currents and navigate accordingly.
Okay, that's a powerful image. So let's try to pull out some key takeaways here. What are the big themes we should hold on to?
Well, first, definitely God is nature, the unity of reality. This idea that everything is interconnected, one substance, it really dissolves that old sacred-secular divide. Understanding the universe is understanding God. It can foster, I think, a real sense of awe and belonging.
Yeah, seeing the divine in the natural world, in scientific laws even. Okay, what else?
Then there's determinism and this redefined freedom. This is maybe the trickiest one for people. But the point isn't despair. It's that freedom comes from understanding necessity, not fighting it blindly.
So accepting what is, and then figuring out how to act rationally within that necessity.
Precisely. Stop wasting energy on what you can't change. Focus on understanding and your own rational response. That's where true agency lies for Spinoza. It's a deep kind of self-mastery.
Okay.
Makes sense. Third, the transformation of emotions through understanding. This is so practical. Your feelings aren't just random weather. They have causes. If you investigate those causes with reason, you can change negative, passive emotions into active, empowering ones. It's like cognitive therapy almost from the 17th century.
That does sound surprisingly modern. And the last one?
The intellectual love of God. This ultimate fulfillment isn't some external reward. It's the inherent joy that comes from understanding reality deeply. Peace and happiness arise naturally from seeing things clearly, from appreciating the necessary order of the universe.
Spinoza's writing, even with the geometry, has some really memorable lines. Any quotes that really stand out and capture these ideas?
Oh, for sure. We've mentioned Deus Aesop Natura, God or nature. That's the bedrock. Short, but world-changing. Then there's this one I love. The free man thinks least of all of death, and his wisdom is a meditation not on death, but on life. It's so life-affirming, right? Focus on flourishing, on understanding life, not on fearing its end.
That's a beautiful counterpoint to a lot of philosophy, actually.
It is. And then there's his guiding principle as a thinker. I have striven not to laugh at human actions, not to weep at them, nor to hate them, but to understand them. That sums up his approach: objective, rational, seeking understanding above all else. It's a call for empathy through reason.
Not judging, just understanding the causes. Powerful. Okay, so how can you, listening right now, actually use these ideas? Let's get practical.
Okay, first, emotional intelligence and regulation. Next time you feel upset, angry, anxious, whatever, try Spinoza's approach. Step back. Ask, what's the real cause here? Is it an external event? Is it my interpretation of that event? Is my idea about this adequate? Be a scientist about your feelings.
So analyze instead of just reacting.
Exactly. Understanding the cause can lessen the sting, give you perspective, and help you shift from a passive reaction to an active response. Second, radical acceptance and resilience. Practice accepting the necessary nature of things you can't change. It's not resignation. It's freeing up energy.
Yeah.
Focus on your understanding, your response. That's where your power lies. It builds incredible inner strength.
Yeah, letting go of the should-haves and what-ifs.
And third, try to cultivate empathy and reduce judgment. Remember, Spinoza says everyone acts out of their own conatus and their level of understanding, often inadequate. Seeing others' actions as determined by causes, just like yours, can reduce blame and foster compassion. Understand why they might act that way, even if you don't agree with it.
That could genuinely improve relationships, couldn't it? Less heat, more light. This is really powerful stuff. It makes you rethink how you handle, well, everything, your own mind, your reactions, how you see other people. For me, what really landed this time was that paradox. Determinism leading to freedom. It's so counterintuitive at first. But the idea that true freedom isn't random choice, but acting with full understanding of why you must act that way, that feels like a much deeper, more stable kind of liberation. It's freedom through clarity, not despite limitations.
Absolutely. And what's fascinating here is just how integrated it all is. Spinoza gives you this complete system, metaphysics, psychology, ethics, all pointing towards a practical goal, living a more rational, joyful, and serene life. He shows that wisdom isn't about escaping reality. It's about diving into it with understanding. That understanding is the path to flourishing. So here's a thought to leave you with. If our deepest understanding of reality truly leads to joy and freedom, as Spinoza argues, how might approaching every challenge you face, big or small, with that kind of scientific curiosity, seeking to understand the causes rather than just reacting emotionally, how might that actually transform your experience starting today?
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by ACATRA Foundation.